So, does life have a purpose? Let's hear what some men and women on the street had to say about that. Turn on our video.
Why were we put here? I think everyone wants to know, why were we put here? Why are we on Earth?
My purpose in life is to live a normal life, to be a citizen, a productive citizen.
I don't fully know why I'm here, but I enjoy that. I enjoy knowing that, because then that creates endless possibilities for myself.
Смысл в жизни, я думаю, что в жизни самой.
I believe it's random, to be honest. I don't think there's a plan. I think you make your own destiny.
Intentar pasar por la vida de la manera más desapercibida posible.
I would like to make a difference, even if it's only in one life. I'd prefer to do more.
Love, happiness, joy, yoga.
I think oftentimes you realize what the purpose was more by looking back than looking forward. In my way, some people plan ahead and know exactly what their life is, what their purpose in life is, in their mind anyway.
I find direction in life by just meditating daily, just coming out here to the beach.
Whether it be spending time with friends or family, or putting some gas in my boat so I can go fishing and catch a few fish, go home, have a fish fry. I live day by day, and I like to take it like that.
Society wants you to think that your life's purpose is all about work and making money and moving forward from that direction, but I think that's wrong, and I'm still trying to figure out what's right for me.
I'd say that because I think the meaning of life, in my opinion, is to find something that you're passionate about and use that passion to make the world around you a better place.
I think everyone has a reason to live. Everyone offers something to this world, whether it be bad, whether it teaches people to be good, or whether they're good themselves, but I think everyone has a purpose on this planet.
How does sound get unhooked from video? I don't know. But I hope y'all could gather a little bit of that with folks kind of caught by surprise, ask the question, what is the purpose of life? So what would you say? I mean, just off the top of your heads. A lot of us could rattle off this or that answer we've heard in various places, but when you stop and think about it a bit, what is the purpose of life, and how could I describe it for others who live in very different ways than I do? I was at the pool Monday with some of the family, and last day for the pool to be open, and met a young lifeguard there. And so I knew he'd be in school the next day. I could tell he was still school age. I asked him where he would be in school the next day, and he proudly told me, I'm going to be a senior at Midlothian High. And so we got to chatting, and I found out that he has a life purpose. His life purpose is to get into college. He's been out visiting. He's got a list of colleges that he's very intent on getting admitted into. And so he knows what he's going to do, and he's pursuing it with passion. He has a purpose for a year. This time next year, he's going to be in one of those colleges, and that'll be gone. So what's next? Well, it'll be time to figure out what his major is, and then maybe some life purpose will form that has perfume and earrings, and that'll capture his passion for a while, and in a few years it'll be, I got to get a job, and then need to get a house. And you know what happens with all of those purposes? They go away. I mean, they serve a good purpose. We've got to have some goals in life. We pursue these goals, and a good many of them we pursue with great passion, but they don't go with us for the full extent of life. That's not what we're talking about today. When we ask, does life have a purpose? We're talking about capital L life, capital P purpose, some kind of overarching, makes sense of all of this chaos that is gathered in our lives, something that lasts the whole of our lives. What is that? Does life have that kind of purpose? Well, sometimes that kind of question rushes to meet us. I mean, we get to these places of pondering when we're sitting out on a beach somewhere, like apparently one of these guys was, thinking about the meaning of life. But then sometimes we come to a hurting place and the question rushes to meet us. This week I met a couple who lost their son this time last year, soon after. Grant and Tracy, some of you know them. They enrolled their two boys at Veritas School last fall, ages 14 and 7. And in the fall, 14-year-old Caleb just up and died, brain aneurysm. And so now, months later, every day, in one way or another, there's the question, does life have meaning? And the younger brother, Ethan, is having, with the ways that a 7-year-old's mind works, to wrestle with that same question. Sometimes the question comes very harshly like that, but sometimes it's more stretched out. There's just kind of this chaos that gets overlaid on our lives, and it lasts, and it doesn't go away. And I think about Luke. I pray with his dad regularly, and Luke served, we've prayed for Luke many times. Luke served in Iraq a decade ago, served with distinction, came home with medals. But he also came home haunted by nightmares. And then he has these unexplained moments of agitation and anxiety and, you know, all the things we talk about now is PTSD. So he's gone for treatment, he's gotten some meds, but honestly he hasn't gotten much better. I mean, life's moved on, he's got a job, he's married, he's functioning, and yet there's this kind of long, won't-go-away chaos that intrudes in his life, unpredictably, on seemingly ordinary days. Those kinds of things, these painful moments, these ongoing unsettled realities in our lives, bring us to the place where we ask, where the question comes to us, addressing us, does life have a purpose? It's not a new question. I mean, it's been the question humanity's been asking since forever, and you'll find biblical writers asking the same thing. There's a little book tucked in the middle of your Old Testament that does nothing but ask this question, does life have a purpose? It's the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's written in the voice of a man who had it all. It's King Solomon, maybe one of his descendants. But he was a philosopher king of sorts, and he wanted to ponder on the meaning of life. And so he wrote this whole book asking that very question. I want to read you the introduction of the book. You can see we're doing our scripture a little differently today. It'll be sprinkled through the message instead of at the front. The first three verses of Ecclesiastes 1. The words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What do people gain from all the toil at which they toil under the sun? And if you know the book, you know that it never changes tone. Chapter after chapter sound like that. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Now, this is a guy who had it all. He was a king. He had money. He sat on a throne of ivory. He ate off plates of gold. But when he looked at that part of his life, his conclusion was, the meaning's not here. It's just more vanity. He had all the sex anyone could ever hope to have and more. A whole palace full of wives, beauty queens. And he thought about that as well. And he concluded the same. If that's where you're looking for the meaning of life, then that too is just so much vanity. He had power. When the king said jump, people said, how high? He had real power. And yet that too was part of his consideration. Not money, not sex, not power. He had it all. And he concluded it all was just so much vanity. If you know this book, you know it doesn't sound like any other book in the Bible. This is not what we expect the Bible to sound like. We expect the Bible to point us the way. But the book of Ecclesiastes works differently. It's more like warning signs in front of a bunch of blind alleys. The whole book is filled with these warning signs. This is a blind alley, don't bother. This is a blind alley, don't bother. And the question persists. Spoken of in a hopeful way in the last line of the book, in reference to the Lord, and yet not resolved. So, where do you look? Where do you find some sort of base to describe life's purpose for yourself and for the others around you? Well, actually, there are dozens of places where the Scripture addresses this, and the answer of the Scripture is very clear. Does life have a purpose? Yes, it does. And the purpose comes as a gift from God, the same one who gave us life in the first place. And his gift of purpose has two parts. First, a reason to be, and second, a cause to pursue. If you want to have an overarching purpose that'll last through the whole of your life, it needs both of those parts. You need to have some understanding of why you are who you are, and then what it is you're called to do. A reason to be and a cause to pursue. Those are the two parts of this gift of purpose that God would give to us, and I want to look at each of them with you. First, the reason to be. Now, you'll find this a bunch of places in the Scripture, but let's read one of the most beautiful. It's found in Psalm 139, some of the middle verses in that psalm. One of David's psalms. Let me read for you beginning at verse 13. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I'm still with you. Now, those are lovely words, and they hold up a real sense that we exist for a purpose, for a reason. Now, this runs counter to the ordinary ways of thinking. You know, you can get lost in thinking about the randomness of our lives. Think about if your mom had connected with someone else instead of your dad. If half of your DNA came from elsewhere, wow, that'd be different. And what if you'd been born 100 years ago instead of now, or 100 years from now instead of now? Life would be different. Those are the kind of factors that shape who we are, and you can conclude that that is the sole factor shaping your life, or you can hear from your Creator who claims that he has used all of that to make you who he designed you to be. Beautiful words talking about how our Creator formed us. While we were yet in our mother's womb, he was shaping us so that we could live the particular life he designed us to live. all the days of your life written in His book. Somehow, the busyness and confusion of this life as we experience it day to day is captured up in this broader purpose of God. And as it turns out, we were exactly the people He designed us to be. With the heritage and the experience that He determined would serve us well as people made in His image in the particular time and place which He's placed us to serve Him. That's your reason for being who you are and as you are. Not just one more cog that rolled off the divine assembly line, but one tailor-made by the one whose hand was involved in forming you while you were yet in the womb, so that you are exactly the person of His design. Now that's a good feeling. And that's one of the two pieces of this gift of purpose that God would give to you. And the second is a cause big enough to live for. So my young friend Kurt, the lifeguard, has this purpose of getting admitted to college. And some of the folks we heard interviewed on The Man on the Street had similar kinds of purposes that they were pursuing for now. But those kind of purposes pass. And so we need something bigger to live for, something longer term to shoot for than just admission to college next semester and the next paycheck at work and so on. And the Lord would give that to us. And as with all things ultimate, the gift comes to us through His Son Jesus. What did Jesus live for? Jesus had a purpose in life. And His purpose was to bring the kingdom of God. When He came, one of the first words out of His mouth was, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. And by kingdom of God, He meant life made right with God the Father, life made right with each other, life made right with the world around us. It's what happens when God reigns in our lives. When He is rightly king, then life works well. Jesus came to bring that good news, to give it to us as a gift, the kingdom of God. And now, having received from Him, it's our chief pursuit. It's what we chase after more than anything else. And when we do, we'll give anything to serve the purposes of God well as His servants living in His kingdom. Jesus told a parable that describes what this is like. It's Matthew chapter 13, a single verse for this short parable, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. If you're a student of the New Testament, you know that a lot of Jesus' parables are about this kingdom of God. What's it like? How do you live in it? How do you live for it? Jesus said, it's like a treasure. And once you see it, you'll give anything for it, joyfully pursuing it. And when I was studying this week about this pursuit of purpose in life, I also read the story of what happened last Sunday in the Vatican. 100,000 people gathered to celebrate the life of someone who pursued that treasure. It was her passion. It was the one thing she did. She gave everything in the pursuit of the treasure, the kingdom of God. I'm talking about Mother Teresa. You may have seen the news. The Catholic Church named her as a saint. Let me tell you a little bit about her life. I went and looked up some of the details. She was born Anej Bohaju in Albania in 1910. So she was still a little girl when the First World War was raging around her homeland. And then once peace was made then, she was still young when these raging ideologies that led Russia into atheistic communism and soon after Albania into the same. these ideologies that say there is no purpose in life other than to serve the state, well, that was a part of the water in which she swam, the cultural water in which she swam as a youngster. So there was war, there was confusion about purpose, and yet her family served Jesus. She grew up in a family that served Jesus. And the Catholic Church was part of the everyday reality of her life. So she grew up not remembering the day when she didn't believe in Jesus. And before she even knew how to ask about things like purpose in life, well, purpose was just forming up within her. She was a little girl who began at a young age to pursue the kingdom of God. And then she learned some of the paths that were open to her as a Catholic, one of which was to become a nun. And so while still a teenager, she began a novitiate within one of the orders, and at the age of 21 took her vows and took the name of an earlier saint, Teresa. That's how she got the name Teresa. And soon after, she left to go and serve in Calcutta, India. She served for a few years as a teacher, and then God made more clear to her her calling, that she was to focus on the poorest of the poor and giving direct care to them. And so she asked permission to found an order of her own, which she did, called the Missionaries of Charity. And so she moved from being called Sister Teresa to being called Mother Teresa, as she was the mother for all the other sisters who came into the order. Over the next 50 years, she cared for the poorest of the poor in their weakest places. And you remember the pictures, the stories of her life, many of you do, kneeling on the streets of Calcutta with someone who was dying, someone who didn't know Jesus, and yet she brought to them the mercy and the goodness of the gospel and discovered in them the presence of the Lord she served. Serving the poorest of the poor, decade after decade after decade, this little woman, about 4 feet 9 or 10 inches tall, loomed large as a world figure in the providence of God. Who would have thunk it? Well, God did. And when she discovered the treasure, she pursued it headlong, joyfully. She laid aside everything in the pursuit of the treasure of the kingdom of God. And one more video, let's see if we can make it work. This is when she received her Nobel Prize, at how she began her speech there in Sweden.
Let us all together thank God for this beautiful occasion where we can all together proclaim the joy of spreading peace, the joy of loving one another, and the joy acknowledging that the poorest of the poor are our brothers and sisters. God loved the world so much that He gave His Son, and He gave Him to a virgin, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she, the moment He came in her life, went in haste to give Him to others. And what did she do there? She did the work of the handmaid. Just serve. Just spread that joy of loving through service.
I saw her in probably 1991 or 1992. I would go each year as a part of our former denomination to our annual gathering. And there were a lot of debates going on in those days about lots of issues, including abortion. And Mother Teresa became a well-known advocate, not just for the poor, but the weak and the vulnerable still in the womb. And so this church was being torn apart by these kinds of debates about abortion. And she came in and she spoke just like that. And she talked about protecting the most vulnerable lives. She didn't have long involved theological arguments. But this little woman who had served the weakest of the weak and the poorest of the poor had an absolutely huge credibility. And when she walked into the room, the atmosphere of the place changed from a place of political debate to a place of realizing we're in the presence of someone who follows close with Jesus. And she spoke words that were so politically incorrect in that setting about how God values life in the womb, and the arguments she made weren't particularly sophisticated. And yet, there was an authority and a reality about her that changed hearts and minds. It was because she knew whose she was, who had given her life, and for what reason. And she had a cause to pursue, the kingdom of God. And in her case, serving the poorest of the poor. Now, if you know Mother Teresa's life, you know that that's not the only thing that happened with her. She had seasons of dark despair and depression. There were struggles in her order among the sisters, just the ordinary stuff of life and its ups and downs. And yet, her life had a purpose. And if a little woman born in Albania, of all places, in 1910, can be used by God in such ways, maybe it can be so for you and me. Does your life have a purpose? It does. And that's the gift Jesus would give to you today. A reason to be, a cause to pursue. It all comes from Him. Now let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You that You stepped into the chaos and confusion of our world. You became one of us. You knew who You were. You knew what You were after. And You've given us the same gift. Now in You, we know who we are. We know what we're after. May we do so with a headlong joy of those who have found the treasure and are willing to sell everything to have it. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.